takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur in real time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FPC Radio Live. It's Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. We're live here on a Wednesday. Normally we aren't. Usually we take Wednesday off in the middle of the week, kind of break it up for ourselves, but we will be off tomorrow. Plus, it felt pretty appropriate to come on here and discuss, obviously, the results of the Baseball Hall of Fame vote that was finalized and released yesterday. So we're going to get into that. And quite fitting, John, I actually last night, and before we get to that, though, I'm gonna let you in on a little bit of what I watched last night. One of my favorite movies, and I'm sure you love this one too. I watched Escape from Alcatraz. I love that. Clint Eastwood, it's great. One of my favorites. It's constantly. Oh, well, apparently I've lost John, so let me try to get John back on here. But it is in one of my personal favorite movies of all time. You know, you can watch it either black and white, the original color. Did we got you there, John? Did we lose you?
Yeah, I got dropped, but I know it's been a bad week, but hopefully people want to hear my response to Barry Bonds not making the Hall of Fame. But Escape from Alcatraz, an excellent film.
Oh, good. You did catch that. I wasn't sure where we lost you or where you were at there, because mm-hmm. I think I might have dropped you just as I went to go ask you a question. So we're off to just a firing start here on FPC Radio Live. But yeah, it was one of my favorite movies, and it's funny too. Is like, obviously I know this because I'm obviously a fan of the movie. I'm a fan of Seinfeld, and I'm a fan of Breaking Bad. But which he says he's 35 in that movie, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, do I look that old? Because he looks a lot older than 35. I'm like, geez, that's my age. But that's besides the point. Butts, if you know, stole the raisins in Seinfeld at one point. And also, he was also the junkyard guy at in Breaking Bad. He had a couple minor scenes throughout the series, which anyone who watched the show would recognize. So I always, whenever I see that, it's always great, because you always see him pop up. I'm always like, aha, I know you. You stole those raisins. But anyway, so normally we don't get on the air on Wednesdays. We just kind of take the day off, and that's just what we do. But today we came on because, we got this some news. So the results of the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. Good news, bad news. The good news, especially if you're a Red Sox fan or anyone outside the metropolitan New York area, David Ortiz got elected into the Hall of Fame. And I can't think of a guy, well, no, I can think of some other guys that are more deserving, but that's not a knock on David Ortiz. It's just how outrageous this Baseball Hall of Fame voting process and BBWA is. But David Ortiz 100% deserved to get into the Hall of Fame. Save me the 2003 anonymous test, whatever. I just don't care. Anyone who's listened to me talk about Baseball Hall of Fame knows that I just, the amount of turning a blind eye and let's say cooperation among not only players, but baseball itself and the writers during the steroid era should not preclude anyone because of how prevalent it was. And I believe, there's guys that are sitting on the outside looking in for the wrong reasons. And it doesn't mean to ignore what they did or what, perhaps an abundance of evidence suggested that they did. But it doesn't mean you should completely wipe them from the record book. So, to that point, I 100% believe that David Ortiz deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can't talk about it's the classic saying, oh, you can't tell the story. Well, you really can't talk about baseball over the last, between 2000 and 2015 without talking about David Ortiz. You can't tell the entire history of baseball without talking about Barry Bonds. And that's the biggest issue here, is that in his 10th and final year of eligibility in the baseball writers vote, he obviously did not get in, and it's really a damn shame. And I know, obviously, you he's your favorite player of all time.
Favorite athlete of all time, even more than LeBron and Aaron Rodgers and Federer and everybody else. He's my favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah, well, and,
magic,
and,
but
No, and that's the thing too. It's like, you know, it's hard for me and the amount of time that I've been alive and the players that I've seen play, it's hard for me to find anyone that was more of a pure, just amazing hitter like Barry. I mean, watching him hit the ball was incredible. It was incredible.
And the thing, Ian, besides being the best hitter of his era and one of the three or four best hitters in the history of baseball, he was an 8-time Gold Glove winner in left field. Mm-hmm. And he also stole over 500 bases. Incredibly bright player. Went to the same high school as Tom Brady about 12 years earlier. That's a pretty good high school, right? They produced, I think, the greatest football player ever and the greatest baseball player ever. That's a feather in their cap. They also produced Lynn Swann, who was pretty darn good as well. But, yeah, I mean, a Hall of Fame without its best player, or at least the best player of the last 50 years. I think the discussion in baseball comes down to Bonds, Mays, and Babe Ruth, you know, have at it. But of the last 50 years, I don't think there's any question that Bonds is the greatest player because he could do everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, 8-time Gold Glove winner in left field. He was the Michael Jordan of baseball, you know, when he was in Pittsburgh and when he first went to San Francisco. And I get that he got bigger in San Francisco and started crushing home runs and all of that. But
he was doing that before.
He was doing that before. Yeah. And he was jumping over the fence to steal home runs, and he was stealing 40, 50 bases. He did it all. He's to be the greatest player ever. But how do we know who did and didn't use? I mean, does Frank Thomas look like a guy who's just naturally big? I mean, look at him today. I mean, that's how big he was when he played. I mean, Jeff Bagwell ballooned up. Mike mm-hmm. Piazza ballooned up. And I don't even get into, like, what the hell is Harold Baines and Ted Simmons doing in the Hall of Fame? They got this with a veterans committee. Larry Walker's in the – look, Scott Rowland got 63% of the vote last night, only 3 percentage points less than Bonds and Clemens. There's no one new on the ballot next year that's a slam dunk. Scott Rowland's going to get into the Hall of Fame, a very nice player, you know, multiple Gold Glove winner, who finished in the top five in MVP voting once. Mm-hmm. One time he finished in the top five. Barry Bonds won 7 MVPs. Now, the guys who voted for Bonds for MVP, I'm assuming a lot of them vote for the Hall of Fame. So at that time, they said this guy is the most valuable player, the best player in baseball, without question. 7 times, and he finished second twice. He could have won 9 MVPs, and yet you can't put him in the Hall of Fame. Same thing with Roger Clemens, 7-time Cy Young Award winner, but not good enough to make the Hall of Fame. And again, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, this isn't so much of a performance issue from the players. This is an issue within the voting process itself, and mm-hmm. and yep. It's, you know, we debate and we talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame a lot, but you know, when it comes to broken systems, it's certainly the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, think about this. I mean, like I said, David Ortiz 100% should be a Hall of Famer and got in on his first opportunity. Dan effing Shaughnessy doesn't like him, so he did not vote for him.
Right.
Like, how absurd is that? That's just absurd. I mean, to me, that's personally a give up your vote then. I mean, honestly, if you're going to treat this voting system as your personal soapbox or, you know, whatever it is, then give away your vote. Like, it's like these buffoons who hand in a ballot completely blank. When you have, again, you can't justify, this is my first year on the ballot, I'm not voting for anyone, or I'm voting for, Scott Rowland is the only guy that they voted for.
Shaughnessy voted for Jeff Kent, that was his only vote. Now, Jeff Kent had an incredible spike in his performance when he went to San Francisco. He was learning some things from Barry, how to get bigger and stronger, or maybe the fact that he was in the same lineup with Barry Bonds made him a better player, but he had an incredible spike, and Shaughnessy's talked about how Ortiz really didn't become a prominent player until the age of 27, and then he had that spike in Boston, and then had another spike in his final year where he still had the quickest bat in the league despite being whatever age, 40 years old. So, I mean, yeah, again, this is all circumstantial stuff, and these are guys that are, yes, they're columnists, but they're also reporters before that, and, like, they're not letting the facts get in the way. They're not upholding the facts. That's my biggest concern with that. And then, yeah, some people voted for Jimmy Rollins. I mean, someone voted for Jonathan Papelbon. Like, come on. Really,
it's a joke, and it's a shame because it's like, you know, this guy, you know, these guys, I mean, I throw Roger Clemens in the mix too because I believe 100% he should be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
I mean, when it comes to the worst part about this is guys like Shaughnessy, guys like some of these writers that were around during this time, didn't bother him then. But guess what?
Right.
When stuff started to hit the fan, that's when they started turning around and wagging the finger and started passing judgment on all these people. They were perfectly fine riding that coattail during the time. I mean, I don't remember too many people during the home run race between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire sitting there, you know, claiming that, you know, this is a shame on blah 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 on baseball and this, that, and the other. And to your point about the MVPs, they were voting Barry Bonds as MVP. If they had a problem with Barry Bonds at the time, he wouldn't have won those MVPs because they would not have voted for him, just like they don't vote for him now. So, unfortunately, it's just a bunch of hypocrisy and issues that don't look like they're going to get solved.
I think the biggest problem is, the voting group, Ian. There's over 400 of them. And if you've covered baseball for 10 years, you get an automatic vote. And you're supposed to lose that vote if you stop covering for 10 years. I personally know voters who haven't covered baseball for 20 years that have a vote. Like, I don't even think they watch the games. And it's really not a real serious thing for them. I think you and I would be better equipped to vote for the Hall of Fame than them. At least in football, I believe there's 48 voters. They get together, I know more recently through Zoom, but, you know, in the past they've gotten together. They go to the semifinalist, and then they, you know, select the five players that are going to get in. And it's a little bit more, it's kind of done secretively, almost like, you know, how they elect the Pope. But at least you know who the people are, and they're football guys, and they take it seriously. With this, it's like there's over 400 people, and there's like some that go, they get the ballot in the mail, and like, oh, that's right, I got to vote for this. I haven't watched baseball in 22 years, and I'm a miserable old you-know-what. And I'm not putting Barry Bonds in because one time when I went up to him for an interview, he was an a-hole to me. It's no different than Hub Arkush is not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't like him. Now, that's a whole different discussion. But, yeah, Barry Bonds was horrible with the press. Roger Clemens was not quite as bad, but he wasn't all that great. David Ortiz was great with the press, so I think that kind of helped him get through. And then you get someone like Curt Schilling, who I think is a borderline candidate, Ian. He last year was at 71%, which would lead you to believe in his final year he would get in. While Curt Schilling is so self-destructive that he told people not to vote for him, and now he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, but he's a completely...
Well,
he makes Aaron Rodgers look like Mr. Rodgers.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, too, that... Like, I'm with you. I think you can make a case for and against Curt Schilling. Obviously, the postseason accomplishments certainly are the heavy factor in his pro Hall of Fame case, but... Even and that's the thing, and this is how it should go. Like, even if he comes out and says, "Don't vote for me," like if you're a writer and he's Hall of Fame worthy, you should have voted for him anyways.
Absolutely.
And that's the problem, because like right would be like, "Oh yeah, fine, we won't vote for
right.
you," you know. And it becomes a pissing contest essentially, where it's like one egotistical maniac versus the other. And I'm not even going to distinguish which one I'm talking about here, because they're both essentially on the same level. Because again, it's about ego. So yeah, it was Barry Bonds a jerk? Sure.
Like, he's admitted that.
Yeah.
He's admitted that. He said, "I probably should have," and you know what? He's another guy that's incredibly bright, very bright, opinionated, who got burned early in his career and didn't know how to react to it and was still bitter at how his dad was treated, who was constantly traded and all of that stuff. So, but again, a very, very bright guy who's just nowhere to be found now. I mean,
yeah,
because everybody's like,
and that's
left him out of the equation.
But that's the thing. Like, he shouldn't have to do campaigning to the media for his resume speaks for itself. I mean, again, that's what's wild about all this is that, you know, these voters hold themselves on such a high pedestal. You know, and they're the tastemakers. They're the ones that decide what goes and what. And look, baseball's got this problem at every level when it comes to upper management and people within power. I mean, just look at what they're trying to do to every misstep that you could possibly take to grow the game. I feel like they've taken under Rob Manfred. But that's a discussion for another day. But you know, it's not so different from this Hall of Fame voting process that is just literally not so much about merit as it is about, well, who you like or who you don't like, and not on a actual professional level, but on a personal level. And in this case, it seems like the ego of the writers are overpowering it. And maybe it is. Maybe the voting pool is far too saturated. Like, why do you need, to your point, why do you need 400 voters? Why do you need, you know, how many of them get their ballot, maybe forget about it, and then realize, oh, crap, I have till tomorrow to submit it. This is what I feel like when it's like me, like, joining a pool for, like, you know, playoff football. I'm, like, scribbling in my answers at, like, 12:30 on that Sunday when it kicks off. And, that, you know, that's fine for a playoff pool because that's all it is. But this is the Baseball Hall of Fame here. You know, this is a prestigious, lifetime, you know, rewarding, you know, change your family type of honor that isn't being taken seriously by the folks that need to take it the most seriously. And it's just a shame. So good news, bad news out of all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, when you look at this, and it's, again, over 400 voters, and they're strictly baseball writers, so there's no broadcasters. Like, Vin Scully can't cast a ballot, a man who's watched more baseball than anyone, and who also is still got his fastball, literally. I mean, the last time I saw him do a game, which was only a couple of years ago, I know he just recently retired, he's still awesome.
But Rob Parker deserves a vote.
Right, yeah, exactly. And then because he covered the Yankees 12 years ago, or whatever the case is, it just kind of turns me off to, like, look, and I know we disagree on this. I'm not going to get into Shaughnessy. I know what he does, and I like kind of the things he does, but part of it is he's a columnist, right? So, but he hasn't really been in the day-to-day contact of baseball for well over 20 years. So, like, how is he getting a vote where maybe some schlub who's covered the Red Sox for 15 straight years is now starting to get a vote? You know, so it's just, it's kind of this weird setup, or just pare it down. I don't know. It's just, look, the Baseball Hall of Fame does not have, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time in it, the best pitcher of the last 50 years, the all-time hits leader in Pete Rose. Now, that's a little bit different with the gambling aspect. That's a whole other discussion, but doesn't have those guys. It's a freaking museum. Ty Cobb is in there.
Yeah.
He was a member of the Klan. I mean, like, you couldn't find a more despicable character than Ty Cobb. But does he belong in the Hall of Fame? Of course he does. He was voted the greatest of the 20th century ahead of Babe Ruth. At that time, he was considered the greatest player ever. Of course he belongs in the Hall of Fame. But there's only been one unanimous selection in the history of the Hall of Fame, and it was Mariano Rivera, who I think belonged but should not be the only unanimous selection. I mean, five or six guys didn't vote for Willie Mays. What the hell was that about?
Well, exactly. And it's like, look, Barry Bonds should have been a unanimous selection. Let's be honest.
Of course.
He should have been a unanimous selection the very first moment he got up at the ballot, because at the time he was a home run king, and he still is today. So, like that.
Yeah, he hit the home run.
Yeah, yep. Like, he hit the home runs, he stole the bases. I mean, his he has records upon records. I mean, it's unfortunate. And look, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Pete Rose, because when you think about just how upside down and backwards this Baseball Hall of Fame is, like, you're potentially three of your top 20 players of all time are not, and that might be just being concerned. I mean, you could go as far as saying maybe potentially top 10, top 15. I mean, it's basically wherever you put Roger Clemens, because I'm pretty sure Barry Bonds and Pete Rose are probably in the top 10.
Well, Bonds certainly is. Rose, I would leave out. Rose was the guy, he got a lot of hits. But he was belongs in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, like, when you have the most hits in the history of baseball, and baseball is as old as it is, I like, you're a great player. So, and look, I think he deserves to be in. Now, again, you can criticize him for his actions, but this all goes back to essentially the same thing that we're talking about with steroids, and it's hypocrisy. I mean, to sit here and pretend like baseball, the foundation of the league of baseball, wasn't built on gambling and you know, this underground, like, it's absurd.
Right.
It's like,
and racism, right? Yeah. And racism more than anything,
but,
right?
But I mean, no, like, Pete Rose bet on games. Like, okay,
right.
Great. Suspend him. Yeah. You know, maybe shun him for a little bit, punish him, but don't ban him from baseball for life and keep him out of the Hall of Fame. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and to
the museum, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The museum.
And so it's like, to sit there and pretend like, you know, you're above it all, and I'm talking about baseball in general. It's just, again, it's hypocritical. It's a spit in the face to people that actually understand and realize that this entire, look, essentially every sports league. I've talked about it with football, because, you know, now it's hilarious to me that they have, you know, these fun, quirky little, like, betting line, like, you know, segments and stuff, where it's like 3 years ago, Tony Romo got his fantasy football camp canceled because it was at a hotel owned by a casino. Like, and again, you go back to the foundation of the NFL, the owners that built this league, and think about where their money came from. Horse track racing, betting, you know, at liquor sales, like all this stuff that like it's frowned upon. So, you know, right back to baseball, it's all hypocritical. You know, this idea that like, you know, oh, this is the worst thing that you could ever do. Yeah, look, he got punished for it. Like I said, you know, maybe shun him a little bit. Maybe he deserved to have to wait a little bit, but don't keep him up for life. Like it just invalidates the entire process, in my opinion. And it's really a damn shame. And I hope there's some solution to this in the near future, because I don't want to wait until after Barry Bonds passes away for him to get elected to the Hall of Fame, because people finally come to their senses like, oh, man. And then you get this disingenuous, you know how it goes. It's like, you know, someone passes away. It's like, you know what? Actually, you made this point before. And I remember this. It was like a year and a half ago. But it's like every artist, every band, every singer that dies early is all of a sudden, you know, their work is overinflated for the most part. Like, just because this person died early doesn't make them this transcendent musician. I'm not insulting them, but, you know, sometimes we just, emotions get in the way of how we react, and, you know.
Yeah, James Dean is an actor. I keep getting told would have been the greatest actor ever. I'm like, no, he wouldn't have.
No.
Like, I mean, like, at that time, Marlon would look at James Dean and laugh.
Yeah.
Like, and say, okay, he wants to be us, but he's never going to be us. Absolutely. Okay. And you know, the thing that's so interesting about all of this is that, my biggest point in this is that you've selected the man as a 7-time MVP and another guy as a 7-time Cy Young Award winner. In the middle of it all, there were rumors that these guys were juicing, right? I mean, Clemens, I think, won 3 MVPs. They each won 4 awards post-steroids, right? Yeah. I mean, Bonds won in 01, 02, 03, 04, like easily. Like they were, and look, there were some great players in the National League at that time, namely Albert Pujols, who couldn't crack through the MVP because Bonds owned it. And Clemens won 4 Cy Young Awards after he left Boston with Toronto and New York and Houston. So there was a shroud of steroids at that time, but you voted for them. And now you look back and go, oh, man, I guess, you know, they were doing something. And at the time, I thought they were the best players in the league. But Scott Rowland belongs in the Hall of Fame before them. Like, how do you wrap your head around that?
I don't know, John. I don't have an answer for you, man. I don't. But I do have an answer to when we're getting off, and it's going to be right now. So we are cutting the show a little bit short. Like I said, it's just going to be kind of a quickie today. But we did want to get on here and talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame. We will be back on Friday, and that's going to be our mega show where we're going to be able to break down the conference championship games and give our picks, because I'm still working through it. So In the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, and of course at Full Press Radio. And we will talk to you on Friday. Have a great day, folks.